This podcast today is about 80 solutions for a teenager with an acquired brain injury, a case study. I have with me today Shirley Deegan, who is an administrator for the National Assistive Technology Training Service of Enable Ireland. Shirley, you undertook this Enable Ireland's Foundations course earlier in the year. When you started it, did you have your son in mind when you undertook the course?
Initially, my reason for doing the course was to understand and learn more about assistive technology. However, it became quite apparent very early on that my son Dylan was going to benefit enormously from me doing the course.
And what was the purpose of this project for you?
For me, the main purpose was to explore and trial assistive technology that could support Dylan in his education. He's in secondary school now, and so is obviously beginning to feel the pressures of exams and so on. So I was keen to try and put something in place to help him with that.
And you were saying he's in secondary school. What year is he in?
Well, Dylan has just completed his second year in secondary, so obviously he's going to be making preparations shortly for doing the junior certificate in summer of 2016.
That's great, lucky him. So what would you say then are the main challenges faced by Dylan at school when doing his homework, let's say?
Okay, well, there are a few challenges for Dylan. The first one is kind of an environmental issue in that he has issues with his balance and coordination. So everyday things like stairs or his spatial awareness, particularly in crowds or some tricky areas, are quite difficult for him. Around schoolwork, he does have a visual impairment. He has double vision in his right eye. And he's dyspraxic, so he tends not to be very good with organisational things, seeing things through. And though he seems to be quite bright, it was becoming obvious with the level of work that he was expected to get through that he was going to need some additional supports.
Okay. So when he's using his computer for school work, is there any issues around Dylan's posture?
Yes, indeed. Partially because of his dyspraxia, but I think the main reason for his issues around his posture were that he has a visual impairment, the double vision. So he tended to slope forward at a very awkward angle to try and get the best possible vision that he could with his eye. That in turn is leading to obviously the obvious posture problems, but it also issues with neck ache and arm ache and tingling in his hands and so on.
Okay, so from your project then and your work, were you able to make any improvements to his posture through the use of different technologies or devices?
Yes, I mean, there were some very straightforward things that we could do immediately which made a big impact. For example, we got a mount to mount his screen on in his bedroom, and the fantastic thing about it is that it's very adjustable, so Dylan is able to tilt his computer screen in such a way that it almost completely eradicates the double vision in his eye for him. Now, for you and I looking at it, it looks really awkward, but for Dylan it works very well. In addition, we also got him a footrest, which is helping him keep his feet firmly on the floor. Like a lot of us, he had a tendency to cross his legs and so on. We also got a Microsoft wireless keyboard because it is wireless and therefore less cables. And the same with the mouse. He's left-handed, so it allowed him more movement around his desk. It was less clutter. And also he uses now the screen magnification that could be found in the Windows Ease of Access Center. So all of those things together have had a very positive impact on Dylan, particularly when he's at his desk doing homework and so on.
That's great. That sounds like a lot of good additions there for Dylan. So with his keyboard, access, then what were the issues there?
For Dylan around keyboard access, his issues really were that A, he is quite big handed, he has quite big hands naturally. With the dyspraxia, he's a little bit awkward, and also he didn't have typing skills. With the visual impairment as well, it meant he tended to bump off the keyboard a lot. It became quite obvious that the keyboard was a little bit too small for him. So we trialled different keyboards and found the Microsoft Wireless one really perfect for him because it's quite large. It was able to accommodate his hands. And also, like I mentioned earlier, not having an abundance of cables and so on, just kind of cleaned up his whole workspace. So it works much better for him.
Okay, and the issues with being able to see the computer screen, his vision, what were you saying you'd done about that there again?
Well, obviously we had the mount, which allows him to tilt his screen at a very particular angle for him. He also uses the screen magnification, and again, that can be found in the Ease of Access Centre in Windows, which he found fantastic. And then little things he also did. He increased the size of the cursor. He found that he constantly lost track of the cursor on screen, so he made that like probably 30 times bigger than most of us would need for. And again, it's just those little things he's put in place have really made a difference for him.
And have you found Dylan's productivity and his organisation with school? Have you looked at that there, and have you been able to find any tools regarding this here?
Well, we did trial some mind mapping software, and the one he found the best was Inspiration. And we downloaded a trial version of it for 30 days. He used it just coming up to the end of the school year for certain projects and that were due in. And at first he found them tricky, but it became very obvious after a couple of weeks of using them that he needed to give it time. By the end of the kind of month, he found it invaluable. He found it extremely helpful when putting projects and assignments together. Dylan is quite bright and he's very creative. He's a very active imagination. But what tended to happen was that in his rush to get his work together, he'd leave out half the stuff. Allows him to plot what he wants to include. It gives him time to put the whole thing together. He's also able to share it then via PowerPoint, and he can convert it to PDFs, and even his teachers have commented that it's a very useful resource for him, and I think for anybody who has maybe some organisational difficulty or a haphazard approach to putting things together, that it's definitely worth trialling.
Very good, that sounds quite a good tool. So, summing up, of the things that you have learned from participating in the course or, you know, doing the case study, is there anything that stands out for you?
I think the most obvious thing for me, as I mean, obviously, I am an administrator in AT, but primarily I'm mum to Dylan. And for me, it was really interesting to learn that AT... The amount of AT out there is incredible. It's very easy to feel overwhelmed by the range of assistive technology that exists. It's important to focus on one thing at a time, the problem area, and not be afraid to trial new things. If it doesn't work, move on to the next thing. You do need to give things time, and it's very important to trial them.
That's great, Shirley. So that's it for today's podcast. So from myself and from my special guest, Shirley Deacon, I'd like to thank you.
Thanks a lot, Sean.